Welcome to the Magnetic Leadership Podcast by Educator Dave Johnson.
Good morning, everyone. And my new friend, and yet somebody who's had a big influence on me, Robert White. Maybe to introduce him a little bit, Robert White is one of these amazing men who, let's see, I know you've helped a whole lot more people, but fairly directly, you've helped about 500,000 people. And you've been doing this stuff for about half a century. So I would say you've had an extraordinary life. This is a great book by Robert, but I'm just so thrilled. A lot of my life, 30 years plus of it, was with one company, recently discovering that you had a lot to do with the whole foundation of that. And I love this idea that network marketing in general has been said that it's the most fantastic personal development program. And I certainly believe that. And it's a personal development company primarily, but funded by amazing products. And that's where we are. And for you to get better, you got to get better. and no matter where we are in our walk of life, we can always be a little better. And so any of us listening, wherever we are in this walk of life, I know we're going to get some golden nuggets from a guy that really is into peak performance. So Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we want to hear all the very best stuff.
Well, I'm old enough to have too long of a story, but maybe the part that has some application with this audience and people that are running their own business is that I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. I did spend 4 years running somebody else's training company. When I was 27 years old, my life was a mess. My business was a mess. And I went through one of the early human potential movement trainings called Mind Dynamics, MDI. And my life changed for the better. You know, it sounds like a cliche all these years later, but it's still true, is that in those 4 days, I took a look at me and how I was in the way of success in my network marketing business. I was in the way of success with marriage. I was in the way of success with relationships in general. And that training helped me get out of the way. It was not instant, but over that next year, my income tripled, and then the next year it went up 10 times. And yet that training didn't say a word about money. So anyway, that was a turning point in my life that led to a career in that industry. I eventually became president of Mind Dynamics. I ran the business side of the business while Alexander Everett, the founder, ran the training side and a certification of trainers and things like that. But I did go through the trainer training after 3 years. I was there a total of 4 years and fell in love with the work and with what gets in the way of people being successful and how to move past that. So that's been a large part of my life. I ended up in Japan and started a company there that became the largest training company in Asia, second largest in the world. We had 240 full-time people, another 50 contract trainers. We were in 7 countries with 15 training centers, a big game. And then when I was doing that, I spent a lot of time in the back of training rooms training trainers. And one day I was doing that in Tokyo, and there was a guy in the training, a student named Isamu Masuda. And my rookie trainer that I was supervising was not making any progress with Mr. Masuda. So I stepped in and actually did some work with him. And that led to him offering me a director's role in Ken, which I wisely said no to, and then a Kumon role, an advisor role, and I said no to that. But in the meantime, he's sending 5-10 people a month up to Tokyo from Kyushu to go to our training. And I'm thinking, if I keep saying no to a good customer, that's probably not a good thing. So I came up with this idea that I would do some work with him and with Niken, based on a percentage of the increase, that if I couldn't add anything, I wouldn't get paid. If I added something, well, that turned out really well for Niken and for me. They went from 2,800,000 in sales that year to 400 million the year the contract ended. And as people know, it went on from that to close to $1 billion. And so I have that. All of my interpreter Tom Watanabe ended up as CEO of Nikken. So a lot of connections in that regard. And I, over the years, I've worked a lot with people in the network marketing business because the pattern is the same. And I guess this is the part that Dave, you and I have talked about a bit, which is that people come into the business and no matter what we say to them, there's an underlying tone of, I can get rich quick without changing me. And that almost never happens. The number of times it happens, it's an anomaly. It's so rare, you should not even pay attention to it. We are all wounded ducks. We all come to whatever's next in our lives with stuff from the past that holds us back. Beliefs about ourselves, beliefs about other people, beliefs about money, beliefs about what is possible in life. So a lot of the work I do is around three things. I work on helping people complete their past, to deal with, take the negative energy off of blame, shame, regret, guilt, and even past success. What worked for you in the past is probably not going to work for you today. Things are changing too fast. So we work a lot on helping people complete their past. The second thing is to learn to better tell the truth about current reality. We all live in a story. I do. You do. We all have a story. And sometimes that story really empowers us, provides a platform to leap forward, to really go someplace in life. And sometimes our own story that we believe so strongly and tell to many people or secretly hold within us gets in the way of our being the success that I think God intended for us. And so learning to better tell the truth about your current reality is a very powerful thing. The Buddhists call it developing a selfless regard for reality. It doesn't run you, but you better have an accurate picture of what's true for you. And then finally, if you've done those two things, done some work on completing your past, and you've gotten better at telling the truth about your story, then you have created a space for a chosen future, a future vision that is not dependent on your past and not dependent on your story, but rather that you can really live into and develop yourself and the people around you in a way that is productive and positive and life-affirming and has the kind of quality to it that I believe you were born to live, living the life you were born to live and celebrating the gift that you are in the world. So that's what I've been up to. So I work with teams, primarily with leaders and their teams, around those three aspects of handling your past so it's not a burden to you, getting better at telling the truth, and then really coming from a compelling vision of what's possible in life.
Wow, that's great stuff. And I think one of the most profound things I heard was from Jim Rohn. He says, when you change, everything will change for you. And I think that's such a powerful thing. And there's been moments in my life where I've just thought, wow, I don't like where I am. And Jim Rohn says, well, you're not a tree. You can move.
Yes.
I love these thoughts. And then being empowered and just learning what to do and recognizing. And I just think, wow, at this moment right now, all of us and Avini, I just think, wow, I've done this for not as long as you, but a long time. And I just think it's really fun to be thinking my best days are not, say, 20 years ago or 25 years ago. It's right now. This is the time to be in my A game. And so I'm excited to be talking about with you and just thinking, okay, wherever we are, we can be better. And no matter what opportunity we've been given, well, we want to take the full advantage of it and live an extraordinary life, whatever that might mean. And so tell us some more.
There's a story that Jim Rohn might have told, this story, or Zig Ziglar, one of those early guys in the motivation business, told a story about a couple that were living in a suburb, and the wife was looking out the kitchen window while she was doing the dishes, and she's complaining about the neighbor next door who they're hanging up the wash and drying it on the lines outside. And she says, well, this woman is not doing a good job with her laundry because that clothing looks gray and dingy, and she needs some lessons in using bleach and blah, blah. She goes on and on day after day. And then one day she's looking out the window and she says to the husband, she said, they must have learned something because the laundry looks like it's really fresh and clean. And he said, no, I washed our windows. We're like that, though. We all have filters. We all have these like glasses that we're looking through, composed of our belief system. And that those beliefs can empower us, make our lives better, easier, but they can also get in the way. And one of the things that happens in network marketing, in my experience, first of all, personally, what happened for me all those years ago where my income tripled and then went up 10 times. Well, I had some filters and I needed to clean them up. I needed to wash my own windows. But what happens when people come into our business and they think they're going to get rich quick, what happens is, and it's another hand gesture, but the realities of the business comes up in front of them like a mirror of what they need to handle before they're going to start attracting people or keeping people after they have attracted them. And if they don't deal with that, what they generally do is quit, first of all, and they make the company wrong or they make you wrong, the sponsor. And that pattern is overwhelming in the network marketing business. So if I've seen a lot of numbers that people last, that maybe 10% of the people that come in last beyond 6 months. I've heard that number and a lot of numbers like that. And I don't know what the correct number is, but it's not a positive number. And when I look at cause, because I'm interested in cause, not in result, the cause is that when that mirror comes up in front of them, when call reluctance, as an example, gets up in front of them, or how they're treating their people gets up in front of them, are they going to do something about it? And that's where training, coaching, good leadership comes in. Or are they going to run away and make the company wrong and make you wrong? And you know, it's just an unhappy chapter in life. That's an interesting question. And it's got a huge financial impact on all of us.
Well, I love this thought. And I think probably everyone was asked this when they first look at it is what's typical. And I think it's best said when someone says, how long does it take the average person to go diamond? And the answer is the average person never will. And in this whole business, you cannot be average and succeed because the average person is going to quit. In fact, accurately, the average person is never even going to get started because you got to get started in order to quit. And to do this business, it's talking to people consistently over time. Most people never do that. And so they never give themselves a chance. And I think that's one of the breakthroughs that you have is this idea of aware. Wake up. Don't be sleepwalking, as you say, through your life. Be aware. And then responsibility and then communicate. Those are really powerful things right there. Yeah, keep it going.
You were kind to hold up my book and it took me 20 years of saying no to people saying you should write a book about your work. And I finally did. It's become a bestseller and I'm very proud of it. I was really reluctant. Speaking of filters, I had one that prevented me from getting out front. I built my businesses quietly from behind. I did not put my name on the business, but not like Tony Robbins or Dale Carnegie or Jim Rohn. I always had a generic name for my companies. And also I wasn't the guy out front on stage. I put my trainers and my consultants on stage and they loved it. They loved that stuff. That wasn't for me. I trained trainers and I worked on the company, not on the delivery of our product and service, right? And I hired people that were better than me at doing that. But when I did the book, some people that I really respect in our industry, people like Ken Blanchard, the one-minute manager guy, and a lot of and situational leadership and all that stuff that he's done, or Jimmy Colano, the founder of CareerTrack, the biggest one-day seminar provider in the world at one point. So they buy the book, and they call me, and they're raving about it, and they order 20 for their friends and 100 for their organization. A really wonderful experience. And of course, I'm very nervous and afraid that they won't like it. And so that felt really good. And then I started noticing the number of people that said, well, I was disappointed about one thing. I, of course, would say, well, what's the problem? And they'd say, living an extraordinary life is not about you, Robert White. And of course, it's not. It's about our graduates and their interaction with that awareness, responsibility, and communication piece. How their lives and what they were up against in their lives intersected with our approach to becoming more aware, becoming more personally responsible, being a better communicator. And I tell him, the book's not about me on purpose. If it was about me, you know, maybe my family would buy it, people like that. And that wasn't the purpose of doing the work of writing the book. But in recent years, Dave, again, I'm working on me. I still am. And one of the things that it's become clear to me is and this came from my friend, the late John Denver, is he took an exercise from our training and turned it into a song called The Gift You Are. Well, and I'm proud of that. It's great to have a song written for you by John Denver, and it became quite popular in the human potential movement overall, not just our company used it. But the thing about that song is that what's happened for me is realizing the gift I am. Not all of my doubts and fears and programming from my very negative and violent mother, you know, that to get past those filters that I have. And so I've been telling the story recently that one chapter of that book is about me. Now, it doesn't say that in the book, and I know you're into the book, so I'm tipping you off here. The chapter is when we're talking about beliefs, and it's called You Are Not Enough, which is the single most disempowering belief that I know of. That chapter is about me. Doesn't say it in the book, but it is. Because somehow in my life experiences, that's the conclusion I made about me, was that I'm not enough. I have one semester of college. On my last day of finals, after my first semester, I had a heart attack. And I had two more in the following 2 years. So I'm out of school. And I've held that as I'm guilty of not having a college degree. The reality, Dave, is I'm better read than most college graduates. I've had a better life experience. I've been to all kinds of alternative learnings. I've been to over 50 different seminars outside our work, from Peter Drucker to some far out Indian guru. I've been to all of them, right? I go to everything. And some of them are not very useful. Some of them have been life-changing and valuable. And I look at that for not just for me, but for other people. It seems to me a lot of us have that belief that we're not enough. We don't have enough money for capital. We don't have the right family. We didn't get the right education. All these bad things happen to us. As long as you hold on to, even secretly, like in my case, I am not enough, nothing's going to happen for you. Forget about diamonds. You're lucky to just survive in the business as a retailer. So doing that work pays huge dividends, first of all, financially, but also with your family and in your community and in your own peace of mind. One of the great lines I'm trying to think of this guy who was a newspaper columnist back in the 40s and 50s, but he said that never ask a barber if you need a haircut. Never ask me if some deep personal development work is going to be valuable to you. I'm going to say yes. I'm the barber when you need a haircut. So that's why I'm here today. I love what you're doing. I'm now a user of your product. I think there's a huge opportunity in front of you and your team. And if I can contribute to it, that's a great pleasure for me.
Well, let's use that as a kickoff. So let's say I love this product, and naturally, inside all of us, if we believe in something, we share it with the people that we love. And so I think network marketing just harnesses that natural part of us. Yep. It can get off track and you think, oh, now free lunch, I could just get a few people and they'll make me rich. But if you get your mind off of yourself and just love other people and just share this like you would share something else that you're excited about, and just lose yourself in other people, that's so much of it. And then do it strategically and consistently and learn how to tell a story, but tell it really, really well and tell it often and tell it to qualified people. And this idea that if you can do it once, you can do it twice. And if you do it again and again, pretty much you make a habit of it. And if it's a habit, and this is a good habit, by the way, and the magic of numbers go into town, and then also what we persist in doing, we become better at it. Then all of a sudden it just becomes inevitable. Success becomes a certainty if you keep doing it. And then you're not wondering, gee, can I do this? Am I average? Well, you're no longer average because you're doing this, and you can become extraordinary. So tell us, if you're new in this, what are the fundamentals and maybe in 20 minutes or so, just go through step by step what it takes to have an extraordinary business and hence an extraordinary life. What would you say?
Look, one of the things that happened for me this morning, I shared it with you in our brief call before this meeting, is that my friend Tom Chenault called me. And by coincidence, I am wearing this shirt today, Love Like Crazy, Then Love Some More, which is one of Tom Chenault's projects around these three basics of network marketing, which is great product, great compensation plan, and personal development. So his emphasis with his organization is on the personal development side. And he started this company called Contact Mapping, so I want to share this story from 1,000 years ago that made a real difference in my life. So I've been talking about doing the deep work of getting those filters at least diminished slightly and hopefully even out of the way so you can be successful. Now, we can't do that in 20 minutes, but I can tell you one thing that made a big difference in my life, which is using behaviors to change your inner being. So here's the story, and it is connected up to contract mapping, by the way, or in your case, Outlook or some kind of technology today. So this is the old guy telling a story from 1,000 years ago, but it applies today strongly. So one of the ways that our stuff, that's a very technical term about our psychological state, right? Our stuff. One of the ways the stuff shows up in your world is call reluctance. We don't stay in touch with people the way we should, with prospects or with people that are in our organizations. And what we do is we come up with excuses on why we don't stay in touch with them. And by the way, by staying in touch, Zoom is great, texting is great, email is great. It's no substitute for the phone call, in my opinion, that to really get deep down and dirty and personal with people. So when I was starting in network marketing, I came out of working in a finance company and not making any money, but not going anywhere and pretty frustrated, and my life's a mess. And then I go to this training, and now it wakes me up. That was my first awareness experience, right? And so now I really want to do better. In the meantime, in the finance company, we operated our business on 4x6 cards. This was a multi-million dollar business, but it operated on paper cards like this. And they were pre-printed with fields that you fill in, just like with Outlook, you have fields that you fill in, or contact mapping, same thing. So on one side was all the information about a loan, and on the other side was your follow-up notes, right? And then you had a 1 through 31, in effect, like a Rolodex, but a date thing, 31 days in a month, for your follow-up. And if it's the 15th, it's time to pull out all those cards that are filed under the 15th and do something with them, right? So imagine this. I'm 27, 28 years old. I'm starting to do better. I'm starting to have a little traction in my network marketing business. And what I discovered is that I would pull out those cards because I set up the same follow-up system for my business that I was used to in the finance business. So now I've got my cards. They've got all the information about people, and they've got the follow-up on the back. So I pull them out for today's date, and here's the routine I go through. So this is a little embarrassing, but true. I know I should call Jerry, but he usually doesn't get up that early, and he's not that good in the morning. So maybe what I'll do is I'll call him later. Now, that little move right there is you are perpetuating call reluctance if you analyze it and look at it. So if you want to get, and then you've got to get the next one. Oh, Susie Smith. My last call with her did not go that well, and she's a bit of a grouch, and I just don't feel up to talking to her to the back of the line again. And what you find yourself doing is that routine of coming up with reasons you shouldn't call that next person. Is this making sense, Dave?
I think all of us have that problem, and you just got to think, excuse me, you just got to say, do it right now. Action conquers.
Well, the behavior that I learned. And I learned it from Ziglar. Zig Ziglar came and did a sales training class that I was doing, and he came as a student. That's a long story and great fun. But he asked me, because I was talking to him about that habit that I had. And he said, where's the phone number on your card? I said, it's on the upper right. The phone number field was up here on the right. He said, when you're picking up your cards, and he said, where's the name? I said, upper left. He said, put your thumb over the name and just call the number. And only when they answer do you look at the name.
Wow.
I thought when he told me that, it was the stupidest thing I ever heard. It changed my whole life because it took away the excuses. It took away the assumptions. It took away my stuff, but I'm my not enough stuff. And now I'm just in a conversation with somebody. Hey, what's happening? I started listening more and preparing less. So I think anything you can do to trick yourself into just getting in front of people and sharing your story and listening to theirs, even more importantly, something that's free. I mean, you can get it online, or you can even buy a little handbook for $10 or something like that from Tom Chenault called The Coffee Shop Interview. And it's all about them. It's not about you and your product, where they are in life and what's stopping them, what's motivating them, what's all of those things. So I think that one of the things we can do in a very practical sense is to trick ourselves into getting in front of people, more people and more often. And a pretty high percentage of us are introverts. That gives us all kinds of excuses. I spent 6 years in China recently, from 2015 to 2020. And I went back to do our original work. So I was in front of groups of 250 to 300 people for 4 days. And so I do the training. And on the last day, we talk about personality types. And certainly one way to look at personalities and types is introvert versus extrovert. And the higher percentage of people are introverts, by the way, in the world. And I'm one, by the way. I'm extreme introvert. That's why I don't put my name on my company, by the way. We'd need a therapist here on a couch, Dave, to examine all of that about me. But I've taken the tests, and I also observed myself over the years. I'm the person who goes and gives a speech to 3,000 people and goes back to my hotel room and watches Romanian soccer on ESPN2 and orders room service alone. I'm the classic introvert, even though I was just in front of 3,000 people. So in our trainings, right, 250 to 300 people, we've been together for 4 days. We start talking about this introvert, extrovert, and I ask the group, am I an introvert or an extrovert? And 100% of the people say you're an extrovert. Why? Because that's the act I needed to put out there so that they wouldn't go to sleep during my training. And a good friend of mine refers to it as Robert's Dancing Monkey Show. But if I go up there and I'm my introvert self and I'm going to put people to sleep, I'm not going to get them engaged, and I'm not going to accomplish what I want to accomplish with them and make the contribution that I am to them because my style wasn't right. And I'm not talking about being a phony or being, it's just that we need to push ourselves beyond these limitations of I am not enough, beyond the limitations of whatever my style is or what's easy for me. Larry Proffitt, of course, is my longtime friend and former partner in Japan. And he's just so good with people. He is that introvert. He just connects with everyone. And he's been like that for the over 50 years that I've known him. So I could do my retreat into the background act, which is authentic, or I can put on the Dancing Monkey Show and get done what I really want to get done in the world. I'll still go back to my room and read a book or listen to music or watch Romanian soccer on ESPN2. But when I need to be out there, I'm out there. And today, being with you, if I wasn't with you, I'd be probably writing something. I'm working on another book. And that's the rest of my day today, by the way, is working on that book. But that's not going to serve my bigger purpose in life, which is to be with you and be with your people in a way where I can contribute something. And I'm talking about me, but I'm actually talking about you, whoever's listening to this thing. What is it that you allow about yourself to get in the way of creating the results you really want to create in life? And yes, never ask a barber if you need a haircut. if you're talking about really going for it, I'm talking about doing some deep personal work. But in the meantime, you can play little tricks on yourself to get out there and get some results. Get into relationship with people. Find out their kids' names and what their hobbies are and everything, what their frustrations are, what their barriers are. But also, what are their dreams? What do they really want in their life? What is it they want to really contribute in the world? How's that for?
One of my favorite thoughts is that everything's people, that without people, there's no business. And if you don't understand business, or excuse me, if you don't understand people, you don't understand business. And I got thrown out into business when I was in my 20s. I had a friend that was very successful and straight commission outside sales. And I thought, I love my friend, but he isn't really that smart. If he could do it, I can do it. Some of it was just pride that kept me going. But the thing that I first heard this phrase, and it was so powerful, it was just revolutionary, is that people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And that was what he told me. It was so profound. He says, if you got something that they need anyway, and if they like you, then there's a good chance they'll get it from you. And John Maxwell said it really well. He said that everything being the same, people do business with people that they like. Everything not being the same, they still do. So I think that's one of the big keys, but not as a gimmick. It has to be real, because people can feel that if you really do care, and that idea that we've all heard, people don't care how much until they know how much you care. All of these things, you don't want them to be trite. They are real. And you really do learn to love people and really believe in all of this stuff. And so much of that will just motivate you rather than thinking, I'm going to use people. That this other idea, a lot of people might use people to make money. They love money, but use people. The key is to love people and use money. And I've found just real consistently, if you look at those two things, if somebody joins the business with the intent to make money, they almost certainly will not. But if they join with the intent to help other people and make a difference, that's what it's all about. I love this idea that's kind of a paradox, that you got to be thinking this, if I don't talk to them, they might never happen. So it's all about me, but yet it's not about me. If it is to be, it's up to me. On the other hand, though, you can't project that. You got to be thinking it's all about them. Becoming really good at this makes you the right and the best kind of person you ought to be anyway. It's just so wonderful. The way to live your life is just being really good at this. That's fun. I think inside my mind, okay, what do we all want to make a difference? And how can it be better than that? Well, just make a bigger difference with a larger number of people. And that's what it gets me excited and gets me up in the morning about Avini. And I just yesterday, we're going to a new gym, met some friends that I hadn't seen for many years. And we're just kind of walking out together. And they said, oh, are you retired now? And I said, actually, I'm just getting started all over again. And he actually went, ah, ah. I thought, oh, I'm so excited. I think one of the most catastrophic things you could do to your life is retire. I'm re-fire. I think this is just so fun to have my new encore career. And so anyway, I feel like you're the same way. You got a new book to write, new things to do. And any final thoughts or anything you'd like to say to us, Robert?
No, just a reminder that you are enough. You're enough. With all of your blemishes, all of your mistakes, all of your failures, that if you can begin to sort for the gift that you are in the world, the unique contribution that you make. I'm not sure if I mentioned this the last time we were talking, Dave, but I have this dear friend. I did a series of 4-day executive retreats recently over the last 2 years, and it's called Living a Better Story. And it was aimed at an interesting group of people. I found my tribe, which is people that are operating their personal lives and their business from a faith-based foundation. And they might not talk about it. They might not even go to church or temple or synagogue. And yet their entire personal lives and their business is faith-based. So it's been an interesting. And one of the people I met, as one of the students in that training, has become a dear friend, brilliant guy, named Arjun Sen. Now, he's from India. At one point, he was the senior vice president of marketing for Papa John's Pizza. Big job, and helped them become a lot bigger, and has some incredible, amazing clients. He's basically the guy you call if you're a CEO and you're in trouble. He's the guy you call if you're in trouble. But he has an interesting point of view about people. He said, we are all one of one. We're approaching 8 billion people on the planet, and there are 8 billion different fingerprints. They haven't yet found a fingerprint that's the same. That's interesting, right? Well, when he says one of one, he's not talking about fingerprints. He's talking about the unique person that we are, each one of us. We each have something to contribute. We each have strengths and weaknesses, and that each of us has a gift to share into the world. So get whatever is stopping you from sharing that gift, handle it. Get out there. Talk to more people. Talk to your own people more often. Get into their lives and support them in getting to be the gift that they are. And by the way, I encourage you to go on YouTube and search for The Gift You Are by John Denver. And if you need a pick-me-up any day, any hour, any minute, that's a good way to get it. Just listen to the song and realize he's singing about you.
Music is powerful. And with words driven by good music, it just goes into your heart and your soul. And what a way to start your day with something like that. I appreciate that. You know, one of the other thoughts that really touched me is a religious leader, David Bednar, talks about when he goes around and he'll speak before sometimes thousands of people. But he says, whether it's 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people, he doesn't look at that group as 1,000 people. He looks at it as 1,000 ones. He thinks of it as a one. And I think about that. You read in the Bible and you hear the Sermon on the Mount and a lot of different things, but so often it's one-on-one, that ministry. And that's wonderful and humbling and makes you feel good. It's just so empowering thinking that he really does care. He knows you. He knows your name and your business. Wow, what if he was actually interested in the success of your business? Well, he is. And believe that and ask for help. I love this thought that if you work as hard as it all depended upon you and pray as it all depended on God, you will succeed. And we've all been gifted with so many talents and abilities. We just definitely want to be faithful and good in what we've been given. And just being involved in this business is a wonderful gift. And let's use it. I think no matter where we are, if we're growing, I think that's the key. I think to really be happy, we need to be in progress. We've all heard success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Yeah. And that's the thing. We're in the progress. It's not a destination. It's a journey. And as I think that's the way we're happy is when we're in the process of accomplishment. And so let's keep it going. Let's never retire. Let's refire.
Read that book. Listen to that tape. Go to that seminar. Make sure you're in every one of Dave Johnson's regular weekly meetings and keep working on you. Become the kind of person that attracts people. And a lot of different kinds of people can be very attractive when they're operating from a compelling vision and an opportunity and the commitment to contribute. It's easy. Love like crazy. Then love some more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, hey, it's great. Been great being with you and with your folks, Dave. I have this weekly email that I do that people, it's free, called An Extraordinary Minute, good little motivational piece that can be read in 1 minute or less. Included, if you register for that, is a 28-page summary of what I've learned about personal growth. It's not the same as doing a 4-day seminar, but it's pretty good, quite frankly.
The price is right, too.
And the price is right. It's free. The book is $20 or so, and a lot of people have found great value from that. So go on therobertwhite.com. And did you notice I put my name on something for the first time?
Wow.
It's therobertwhite.com. Under resources, you'll find different ways to be in touch with me and different ways I can contribute to your life. And it would be my pleasure to do so.
I'm grateful to be a friend of the Robert White. And so, yeah, get plugged in. So much of where we're going to be is what we read, who we associate with, and the things we listen to. And so let's have a good filter out the bad, but let all the good in. And let's all get better every day. Thanks so much.
My great pleasure. Much love to all of you.
Take care. Love you all.
Thank you for joining the Magnetic Leadership Podcast with Dave Johnson. Take charge of your health and detoxify today with Avini Premium Products.